on A1A Beach Boulevard, just south of the St. Augustine Pier. The attorneys can be reached at 461-3000. That's 461-3000. Or you can direct connect to their website under our business sponsors. Just go to WTRJTheTruth.com.
Christian teaching and talk. This is 91.7 FM, The Truth.
Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. It's always our delight to have you jump on board, join in the dialogue and discussion that we have right here on Let's Face the Issues each and every day. As we face the issues, we do so based on the authority of the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. I like to call it the Truth Book. Jesus, speaking to his disciples in John 8:31-32, says, "If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free." Then in John 14:6, Jesus says, "I am truth." Further in John 17:17, we see a declaratory statement made about the word of God. "Thy word is truth." Psalms 117:2 says, "The truth of the Lord endures forever." Ladies and gentlemen, it's truth that we ought to stand on and realize that that is forever. Jesus is truth. No modification, no revision, no update needed. Jesus Christ is truth. And may I say to you, Psalms 146:2 says, "Put not your trust in princes, nor in the sons of man, in whom there is no help." We need to place our trust and our confidence and our faith in the Lordship of Jesus Christ, nothing more and nothing less. It goes back to truth. But the secularist George Orwell of yesteryear said, "The further a society drifts from the truth, the more we'll hate those who speak it." And that is factually true, if I can use the spin on the term to make the point, ladies and gentlemen. Yet we have those that say somehow, some way, truth is irrelevant. Truth is not necessary. It's everybody's got his own truth. I go back to a survey that was done just a year or so ago, and the headline says, "Most younger Americans say there's no absolute truth." The article begins by saying, "Webster's Dictionary says truth is the body of real things, real events, real facts, actualities, the state of being in the case, fact." But this article reads that 55% of the younger age group in society today, the millennials, say that each person determines his or her own version of truth. But ladies and gentlemen, if we do that, we bifurcate truth, and once you do that, you no longer have truth. You've heard me say a million times, half-truth is a whole lie, and we need to recognize, we need to get back to the fundamental basics of what does the Word of God say. It is truth. I'm reminded of Proverbs 14:34, "Righteousness that is rightness before God exalted," that means to lift up, to glorify a nation, "but sin is a reproach, a dishonor, a shame, an insult to any people." And I see that taking place today more than I would have ever dreamed possible less than 100 years ago. But the mindset seems to be that everybody's going his own way, doing his own thing. Goes back to the book of Judges. Everybody was doing that which was right in their own eyes. And that's what I see today, that's dissembling, dismantling, and dividing our nation. In fact, the Lord Jesus in Matthew 12:25-26 warns us that a divided nation and I'm going to paraphrase and illustrate, a divided nation, a divided people, a divided church, a divided home shall not stand. And we're witnessing the underlying element of satanic demonic forces that's out to tear down and destroy our nation. So we're talking about today, are we losing our liberties? Are we losing our liberties? We'll talk about that during the course of this broadcast today. It goes back to truth. We need to recognize truth and stand on truth. Otherwise, we will lose our liberties. Otherwise, we will lose our nation. Otherwise, we will lose our homes and our families. And that's which the Lord Jesus gave himself for on Calvary's cross as we celebrate Easter, the great resurrection time of the Lord Jesus Christ. And what he did was buying our liberty through his shed blood on Calvary's cross. Ladies and gentlemen, I go back to the 15th century theologian and church reformer, Jan Hus. Jan Hus says, faithful Christians, seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth, even to death. That's what we must do. The society that we're in today, if we do not stand on truth, love it, seek it, live it, learn it, tell it, and defend it, if we do not, we've lost our liberties. We've lost our nation. We've lost what God has given us as the United States of America. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of the day's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of equipment for the homeowner with brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment. And ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time has a full line of Honda generators. And they have a knowledgeable staff that can answer all of your questions about the power backup equipment. They can answer your questions about the professional as well as the homeowner brand landscape and lawn care equipment. Tools for Time is located at 11291, that's 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. Perhaps you say, how do I find that? Glad you asked that question. Tools for Time has a wonderful benchmark, an identifier. On the campus of Tools for Time, there's a 165-foot flagpole. Atop that flagpole flows the U.S. flag, Old Glory, 24/7. Find that flag in the flagpole. The base of that flagpole, you find the home of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com. ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, just a few more moments and a brief monologue, and we'll open our telephone lines. And once the telephone lines are open, let me remind you that telephone number is 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. Your telephone call will be received. We'd love to hear from you with your dialogue and discussion, your questions, your comments on the issue of the day. Ladies and gentlemen, today I believe we're free to, listen, we're free to worship in America today. We're free to study the Bible. We're free to witness. We're free to speak freely and openly in honoring the Lord, biblically speaking. Yet most do not recognize, ladies and gentlemen, how rapidly all of these freedoms are being, not will be, shall be, are future tense, but are presently being eroded. Although we have, by the grace of God, ladies and gentlemen, a conservative leadership in the Oval Office, there are evil demonic movements that are rapidly taking over our nation and our ethics, our morals, our values, and closing church doors across our nation. We're replicating today in America what has happened in the past 20 years in Europe, what has taken place in London, what is taking place at the present time in Texas, New York, Michigan, Minnesota, and other parts of America. Now, perhaps you're listening and you say, well, that doesn't affect me where I live. That doesn't affect my state. That doesn't affect my work. That doesn't affect me personally. That's not affecting my church. Oh, but wait a minute. That's what we're going to talk about today. How it is permeating all of society and their major deep-pocketed, major funded foundations in America today that's funding backdoor efforts to destroy and to close churches in America. But ladies and gentlemen, Christians, conservatives, and patriots today perhaps recognize more than others, and we ought to be in recognition of it, and we ought not to be anxious about the future, but we need to be concerned enough to do something. So some of the questions, and I'll touch on this and open our lines, some of the questions that are being asked, what will happen in the Iranian war? We've got some today that are Christians, churches, pastors, patriots, that are criticizing President Trump for going into the war against Iran. Just recently, with some of their intercontinental ballistic missiles that were fired, Europe awakened when they realized that those missiles can land in Paris, can land in Germany, and other areas of Europe. They finally awakened to the fact that the Iranian machine was and is a, how would you say, a grave danger, impending danger, imminent danger for the whole wide world. So I don't know about you, but I'm thankful that God gave us President Donald J. Trump, that put him in an Oval Office in position to do exactly what he's doing now. But listen, there are others saying, what's going to happen in our November election? We've got some conservatives, Christians, patriots, that are tossing their hands up, pulling their hair, saying, oh, gasoline is $5 a gallon. Oh, look at what is happening now with the economy. Oh, look at the cost of groceries, et cetera, et cetera. And it's because of the Trump derangement syndrome. Ladies and gentlemen, if we continue the idea, the attitude that is presently prevailing multitudes in America today, we will lose, hear me, conservatives, patriots, will lose the election in November. We need to recognize what is happening, who's causing it, and what the answer will be in carrying it out. We need to realize and understand, ladies and gentlemen, that socialism, Marxism, communism is on the rise in America. It's displacing the constitutional republic that God has given us. It's replacing our capitalistic free society that we have today. The stage is being set to steal the election already. This is the reason we find the loose lacks lost liberals, the Marxist Communist Democratic Party on the left, refusing to vote for the SAVE Act. The SAVE Act. The SAVE Act, when passed, will prevent mail-in ballots unless you're sick or as a military person out of the states cannot vote any other way. The SAVE Act will require identification, photo identification. The SAVE Act will make it impossible to go beyond the day of election to count the ballots. You have seen where in some states and some counties in the blue states where it would take a week, 10 days, 2 weeks to count the ballots. And the longer that takes, the more fraud takes place. That was proven in the 2016 election. That was proven in the 2020 election. That was proven in the 2024 election. Although the Democrats could not steal enough votes to get the count up to prevent Trump from going in. That's what has them so riled up and so angry today. It is the Trump derangement syndrome. But it goes back to some fundamentals. And I'm going back to the church door, going back to the household of faith and what we have as separation of church and state. Let me just read you a brief article from Mike Johnson. Mike Johnson's a Christian, Speaker of the House, constitutional attorney, and is very, very, very precise in his statements. Headline says, Speaker Mike Johnson, separation of church and state is misunderstood. House Speaker Mike Johnson, a Republican of Louisiana, is calling on Americans to embrace the true meaning of the term separation of church and state, which he said is one of the most misunderstood issues in American society. He goes further to say, it is from the very birth of our nation that America has always been sustained by prayer and by resilience and upon the foundation of religion and morality, and it's in the DNA of our nation as to who we are. Johnson, a former professor of law, emphasized his expertise in religion and public sphere, calling it one of his favorite and most misunderstood topics. I'm often criticized for invoking my faith, Johnson said. That's not some innovative thing. There's some very angry voices out there trying to convince us breathlessly that there must be a rigid separation between church and state. It's a phrase that is often repeated, as we know, but very rarely understood. Touching on the origin of the phrase, Johnson added, the separation of church and state first appeared in a personal letter from Thomas Jefferson, who wrote to the Danbury Baptist Association, rather than the United States Constitution. It's not in the Constitution, but it's in a letter, he's saying. And in that letter, he explained that because religion is a matter which lies solely between man and God, the First Amendment is vital safeguard for our rights of conscience. Jefferson wrote that he revered that an act of American people, the act of the American people, which declared that their literature should make no law respecting an establishment of religion, prohibiting the free exercise thereof, thus building a wall of separation between church and state. Referring to the atheist, non-theist organizations and advocacy groups who often use that phrase, separation church and state. When criticizing religion in the public square, Johnson lamented that now they take the phrase and turn it around. Johnson insisted that Jefferson clearly did not mean that the wall to keep religion from influencing our government and influencing our public life. And he goes on with about two other pages in the article. So, ladies and gentlemen, that sets the stage for where we're going. We have a freedom of religion. We have a freedom of speech, but unknown, unrecognized, and for the most part, unconcerned on the part of churches, Christians, and pastors as to the erosion of the liberties that we have, and now celebrating our 250th year. I believe Kenneth is on the line. Kenneth, go over with your question or comment, please.
Yes, sir, Dr. Youngblood. If the Democrats get back in office, our republic is through. And they say a separation between church and state. Look what Von Dummy, I call him a dummy. He put speakers all over New York so they could have prayer, so the Muslims could have prayer 5 times a day. So where's the hellfire about, hey, separation of church and state? I'm trying to figure that one out.
Well, Kenneth, brother, you've hit the nail on the head. That's part and parcel of where I'm going with the issue that we're talking about today. We're talking about the so-called separation church and state that the loose likes lost liberals on the left, the Socialist Marxist Communist Democratic Party, and the atheists and the heathens want to enforce the separation church and state. But at the same time, there's no enforcement of it when it comes to Islamic jihadism. Right now, we can prove that by what is happening in most of Michigan, in particular in Dearborn, Michigan, and outlying communities and little townships around it. We can witness to what is happening in New York City, where a socialist, Marxist, progressive Islamic jihadist is now the ruler over about 8.5 million people as mayor of New York City. And you touched on it. Most of our listeners may not even be aware. It has not been broadcast, to my knowledge, on any of the mainline television outlets, but where the Islamic call to prayer, 5 times a day, beginning at 3:30 in the morning, all over Manhattan and all of that part of New York in particular, where that takes place. I've not heard anybody scream and cry and say, where's the separation of church and state? Let's enforce it. But there's another issue to that, Kenneth. There's what's called the noise ordinance. The noise ordinance prevents that from taking place. They're not enforcing the noise ordinance. We ought to go back and read Mandami's speech when he was sworn in to office as mayor. He made some very clear statements, and I'll paraphrase for lack of recollection of the verbatim. But he said that prior to his election, Muslims had been operating in the shadowy parts of New York. He said, but from now on, they'll be operating out of City Hall. And right at this very moment, most of those people that he's appointed are Islamic jihadists. Right at this very moment, we're witnessing and watching the erosion of religious liberties. And the standard has been set by what is taking place in Michigan, what is taking place now in New York City and what has been underfoot for the past 4 or 5 years in the state of Texas, where the Islamics have said, we will take Texas. Their words, we will take Texas. Texas now is doing battle. The governor in Texas is faithfully trying to prevent the takeover of Texas by the Islamic jihadists. So the point that I make is, asking the question again, are we losing our liberties? And the answer to that question succinctly is absolutely unequivocally, we're losing our liberties incrementally, piece by piece, part by part, day by day, moment by moment, by the atheists, the agnostics, those who want the separation of church and state, to silence Christians, and by the Islamic jihadists that wants to wipe out and destroy, and it's called Christianity. So, Kenneth, it deserves our prayer, deserves our attention, deserves our recognition that what we have today, that this year, 250 years, we're celebrating, is rapidly being eroded and taken away from us. We're losing it each and every day. And Islam operates on an incremental basis. They're willing to take a slice of bread today, a slice of bread tomorrow, until eventually they have the whole loaf. And that's what we see taking place. So, Kenneth, it deserves our prayer and our recognition. Thank you so much for your call.
Yes, sir.
God bless you as we keep looking up. Ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number is 904-831-0917. 904-831-0917. By the way, when you look at the scripture, need to admonish us with this. In 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7, the scripture is very, very clear. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. So, ladies and gentlemen, what I'm saying is not to bring about fear. What I'm talking about is not to cause us to be anxious or worried, but that we might recognize what is happening, and before it's too late, stand up, speak up, be heard, be seen, and take back our liberties, stand on what God has given us, our constitutional republic, and not be afraid and cower in the shadows because of it. Ladies and gentlemen, listen, all of our questions about the future, about the election, about what is happening, are good and ought to be considered, because socialist, Marxist, communist, and communism is on the rise. I'm amazed by the unpeeling of the onion that is taking place under the Trump administration. We're finding that our institutions, our prestigious institutions, Harvard, Brown University, many other of the major universities, they're discovering, this president administration is discovering, that Islam and communism are embedded in all of our higher learning education universities and organizations. How did they get embedded in that? It's when the Islamics offer millions, and the communists offer millions, endowments in these universities that are otherwise prestigious, they want in return, let's say, a chair of communism, a chair of Islam, etc., etc. They want classes to be taught about communism, socialism, Marxism, and Islamism. And they're getting that. And so we have in our places of higher education where the professors are teaching young students there, the airheads that go there, being paid for by parents, teaching them to be Marxist, communist, socialist, and anything that's anti-American. We have inbred the future destruction of America with what we have. So are we losing our liberties? Absolutely. Are we losing our constitutional freedoms? Absolutely. And we need to recognize that, ladies and gentlemen. Did you know that an Iranian missile just recently came, listen, I must say this, an Iranian missile came close to cleaning the clock of the 35-acre rectangular piece of land in Jerusalem that's called the Temple Mount. I'm looking at headline, Temple in Waiting. Temple in, why is this necessary in the midst of our discussion today? Because we're witnessing two tracks. One is what is happening in America and around the globe, politically, socially, economically. The other track is simultaneously going the eschatological prophetic time clock and what I call the map of what God is doing presently for the future. What we're looking at today is seeing God setting the stage for what will be the future of America and of the world. Listen very carefully. Temple in waiting, prepared in Jerusalem. The Temple Mount in Jerusalem is one of the most sacred places on earth and one of the most contested. For the Jews, it's the place where the Holy Temple once stood. To the Muslim, it's control of the Temple Mount, and Jews are forbidden to worship on the Temple Mount. I don't know if you know that or not, but that hasn't stopped some people from making plans to build the next temple. Ladies and gentlemen, the chronology of what is taking place, the next thing on the calendar of God is the rapture of the church. But before the rapture takes place, in my most humble opinion, based on the study of the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God, there will be the starting of the rebuilding of the third temple on the Temple Mount. It may be called the fourth temple. You had Solomon's temple, Zerubbabel's temple, then you had what's called Herod's temple. Herod simply remodeled and added to Zerubbabel's temple, and now the third, or if you call it that, the fourth temple, shall be rebuilt. Some scholars have said they can be rebuilt next to the El Aqsa Mosque and the Dome of the Rock. Some have said that it's not necessary for that to be removed. But I say that the Temple Mount must be cleaned, wiped flat for God's people, the Jewish people, to rebuild a temple. This article reads, every day, three times a day, Jews recite this prayer. May it be your will, God, that the temple be speedily rebuilt in our time. End quote. It's a prayer that we've prayed for over 2,000 years. But today, Jews here in Jerusalem are doing more than just praying. Just a few steps away from the Western Wall, rabbis and craftsmen are building what they call a temple in waiting. Director of the Temple Institute in Jerusalem, the Temple Institute is actively engaged in research and preparation of the resumption of services in the Holy Temple to the extent of actually preparing operational blueprints for the construction of the temple according to the most modern standards, and is found in Ezekiel chapter 40 through 48. This menorah is just one of several vessels being created for the next temple. It's covered with, listen, they built the menorah, created the menorah to go in the temple. It's covered with 90 pounds of pure gold, has a price tag of over $2 million. Piece by piece, the third temple is taking shape, with the priest's garments being built, directed, and crafted. Vessels of copper, gold, and silver, and a new generation of Levite priests, specially trained for the temple service. We have enough in place now to resume divine services in a new temple. But obviously, a lot of things must happen in order to do this. Some 3,000 years ago, King Solomon built the first Jewish temple. Another Solomon is laying the foundation. His name is Solomon. He was formerly, back in 2009, the mayor of Jerusalem. Another Solomon is laying the foundation for the third temple. Grisham Solomon leads a group called the Temple Mount Faithful. From the womb of my mother, I have the task and a mission in my life, which is connected with the rebirth of Israel. The group commissioned the cornerstone for the third temple. A 6-ton cornerstone was consecrated with water from the biblical pool of Siloam and cut with diamonds. Several years ago, Solomon and his followers tried to place the stone on the Temple Mount, and every year they were stopped by the Israeli police. Unfortunately, weakness of the Israeli leadership did not allow us to bring the cornerstone to the right place. And he goes on to talk about the third temple to be rebuilt. Ladies and gentlemen, listen carefully. That is one of the key elements we need to keep our eye on Jerusalem and what is taking place with the clearance of the Temple Mount, because when that happens, the rapture of the church is just moments, if not days, away from it taking place. Then the man of sin, the Antichrist, steps on the scene and with an iron fist leads the world and destroys anything that's called Christianity, biblical Christianity, and Judaism. Ladies and gentlemen, our half-hour break is ready for the news. So hang in there. Don't turn your dials. We'll be right back right after the news.
Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu. WTRJ-FM, Orange Park.